cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to the Renegade Report. I'm Jonathan.
And Ramon is present as always. This podcast would be nothing without me, by the way, so of course I have to be present.
Well, it would be 50% less without you.
Which is opposite of our taxes, I'm afraid to say, because they're increasing.
Yes, apparently, and if you're rich, which you won't be because people will just leave the country.
Well, just white people really are going to pay more tax because apparently they, I thought they were the rich ones. That's the narrative.
Only they would pay the tax because they're the only ones who make money. It's an interesting one. So if you saw a good comment that was made by one of our former guests on Facebook, government's view of the economy can be summed up in a few short phrases. If it moves, tax it. If it keeps moving, regulate it. And if it stops moving, subsidize it. And that's Ronald Reagan for you, and that's the reason why he's got the reputation he does. And by the time you hear the show, there used to be a guy called Milo. Now he no longer exists.
Yeah, so apparently he said something positive about pedophiles or pedophilia. I don't think it's quite correct. I mean, I listened to that podcast where he's been slammed for now. I listened to it a year ago or whenever it came out. And nothing shook me to the core. Then again, nothing shocks me to the core. I'm so jaded and cynical and my heart is filled with oil.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting thing because it's words over actions, and then actually the actions in his case are that he was probably sexually assaulted as a child.
Yeah, and he says it's not the worst thing that ever happened to him, which is cool in a way if he takes it that way. Milo's been triggered by Republican snowflakes this time, and they've done a bloody good job of it, so let's see where it goes. I think he has become fairly irrelevant recently. I think this will just
he'll carry on in the coffin but not of any note.
He's not as interesting as I thought he would be at the time. I just find if everything's a joke, why should we take him seriously? You know what I mean? Everything he says is a joke.
Well, everything he says is designed to provoke. There's nothing of greater substance than that. And if you dig into those jokes, so to speak, then he goes, well, I didn't really mean that. What I mean is, and there's a further kind of caveat and explanation.
I'm a provocateur and a gay conservative British Jew. So I can say anything I want. It gets a bit old after 18 months.
Right, Ramon, do you want to introduce our guest on the show this week?
Absolutely. So our guest this week is Ali Shakur, at Vibe High on Twitter. So
lots of South African fans, actually.
Absolutely so. So he's part of the Hot Tip movement, which is something we're going to get into. And there's quite a few of them in South Africa too. I follow a few local accounts with Hot Tip in their Twitter handle. So the movement is growing, but we need to find out what exactly it's about. So, Ali, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem, man. Hotep Jesus on Twitter, Hotep Jesus on the net. You can find me, hotepnation.com.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to link all of that in the show notes once it's released. So, I mean, what do I call you? Do I call you Ali or Hotep Jesus? I quite like Hotep Jesus.
You call me whatever you like.
All right. It's Hotep Jesus for now, then. Right. I did a bit of research on Hotep, and basically it basically means someone who's at peace with themselves. Is that broadly correct?
Broadly, that's correct, yeah.
All right. Now, what is the philosophy behind being a Hotep, and how does it contrast with other philosophies?
I mean, at the very core, it is independence. But it's, you know, I always like to say, question everything, believe nothing, because people tend to believe everything that's spoon fed to them and they do no independent thinking. And the only way one can embark upon independent thinking is to begin to question things. So we question everything and that kind of separates us from the group right there, because majority of people don't think. They depend on others to think for them. But it's accountability and responsibility. It's the no excuses attitude. You know, there's no excuses. Like, if you want something, just get it done. We're afforded everything we could have. You got Yoda sitting behind you. You should never complain about anything in life. You know what I mean? It's so easy to make things happen for yourself with the technology we have available to us.
It seems to be quite those values that you said about self-reliance and about learning, it seems quite American in a classical sense. Does the movement originate in America?
What do you mean?
Well, the self-reliance and the principles of being Hotep, are they American values as well? Or should they be American values? Or is it from somewhere else?
When you're talking about the movement that we started, that started here in the United States. But this philosophy has existed, since the first ancient mystery schools in Africa, in Nubia, you know? So this is even the Greeks carried this philosophy with them. So this isn't something that we created. It's just something that we believe because it works.
So how do you contrast that with other groups that are ostensibly black, so like Black Lives Matter and those kind of groups? I mean, are you friendly with them, or are they your enemies in some way?
Well, if we look at history, we saw what Marcus Garvey went through when he came here. And if you look at the work of Marcus Garvey, who is a Pan-Africanist, he came to America and he said the KKK wasn't his problem. The white man wasn't his problem. He said his problem was actually the other Negroes here in America. They were found to be less educated. They were found to be manipulative. And basically what he was saying was they use the problems to kind of control people. And that's kind of like what you see with Black Lives Matter, where they keep waving problems in front of your face and they basically get paid to talk. So they take your money. They're almost like pastors, you know, like these fake pastors like Joel Osteen.
Yeah, we know him.
Yeah. So the people who, you know, get up there and they're, you know, we call them race baiters. But yeah, they're race traitors, actually, because they only seek to elevate themselves and not the entire community.
Yeah, so that would be the Jesse Jackson types.
I think I'm too young to know about Jesse Jackson and what he's afforded black people. What I hear is that, you know, he would be the Al Sharpton type. You know, I would say Al Sharpton is definitely in line. I follow what he does, and he's a race pimp. Jesse Jackson is an alleged race pimp. I'm going to stay agnostic on that one, though.
All right, and we've got there are some similarities, we think, between a lot of the race baiting that happens in South Africa. We've obviously got quite a history and a background, but we think there are quite a lot of similarities with what happens in the US in terms of collectivizing groups and then doing this us versus them type of scenario. You guys fundamentally against the sort of collective? Because already I'm hearing almost a type of you stand as a group separate to what people would classify you in the sort of general African-American community.
Well, the African community actually segmented us. They pushed us out right around the time of the Mike Brown and Trayvon Martin, when we were saying, well, hey, guys, this stuff isn't new. It's been happening. The media is using this to manipulate you to get clicks and to drive Hillary into the White House, which failed. But you're being manipulated by people. And when we pointed that out and we pointed out solutions, you know, they branded us with derogatory terms.
Yeah. All right. So give us some idea of your perspective, because I assume, you know, in the general news media, we're not seeing your perspective. If we talk about things like Trayvon Martin, and these types of cases, and you're saying this has been going on a long time. So give us an idea of what's been going on a long time, the way you think it's reported incorrectly, and what the possible solutions might be.
Well, if we look back at the Rodney King case, you know, we had the Rodney King trial where Rodney King was beaten by police.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, people being shot, you know, it's just that these new kids, are seeing it for themselves of what it's like to deal with racist cops. Racist cops exist everywhere. You know, the thing is, there's ways to mitigate this risk, right? So if there's racist cops in your neighborhood, wouldn't it behoove you to elevate your economic status to control the politics within your region and therefore control the police? So there should be black police for black people. And then you don't have that problem. Now you're just going to deal with an asshole, which you'll find when you change colors, really it's not going to make a difference. Once you give somebody a gun and authority, they're going to abuse it most times. But yeah.
So I mean, what I find interesting is that you and people on the left or the Black Lives Matter types, you see the same problem. Their solution is more government intervention somehow, or a type of social engineering, and yours is more on self-improvement to effect a positive outcome. And I think that is the difference between the two of you.
Well, we look at things objectively and they look at things subjectively. That's the bottom line. If you ask me what I think of all this mess, I'd say it'd be inevitable. You take a sample from a random pond and throw it in a petri dish and watch that thing change over time. You're going to see things devour each other. You're going to see things help nourish each other, right?
Yeah.
We're just organisms in a petri dish, us humans. So there's going to be conflict. The question is, when does the consciousness rise high enough so that we don't act like puny organisms? You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
My thing is, if you're in the know and you call yourself conscious or so-called woke, you would start looking at things objectively, right? And say, well, if I know all of this, well, here's my biggest gripe with these people on the left. They say we have black girl magic, we have melanin power, melanin, and all this, you know, we was Kangs. And it's like, so if you're so great, why are you complaining? If you're so great, why do you allow the people you call racist to control the territory you live in? It is fully within your capabilities to remove them. And I don't mean to do this violently. If you are so great, you'd be able to tactfully and politically remove them from your region. But you can't. Why? Because you're distracted by the nonsense that happens in the media that enrages you. So instead of you building up your community on Saturdays, guess what you're doing? You're marching in the streets, wasting time, dirtying up somebody else's community. Not only that, you're bringing economic profitability to these regions when you show up by the thousands. And these shops that you shop at, they're not black owned. So you're just giving money back to somebody else and not your community. It is recycled trash over and over again.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the problems are quite superficial, right? So like the Oscars so white type of meme goes around that, you know, the Oscars are not representative of the black community, or that they are racist because there's not enough black actors being nominated. Like, this is somehow an issue that, when
that is, there's like, so before we even get to the issue, that's not the issue. The issue is how you perceive these awards. See, these blacks look at these awards like they're great and they're golden, right? But who creates these awards? It's not them. They don't own the awards, do they? No. They don't. The so-called who they call oppressor owns these awards. So what they're saying is, oh, please, oppressor, please give me an award. Oh, massa, please give me an award, because your opinion is the only opinion that matters. That's what they're saying, because they don't show up to their own black awards. Beyonce doesn't show up to the black awards, but she'll go to the so-called white awards, right? And perform for them. She'll go to the country awards and perform for them, but she won't even do her own awards. But yet we're like, oh, Beyonce and this wonderful performance at the Grammys. Why? Because it's theirs. And that's the thing that's wrong with black people. It's not the white people. It's how they perceive white people. Black people uphold white supremacy by their own mentality.
Sure.
I mean, I think that'll get you a lot of hate in our country if you said that, I must be honest. I mean, I sort of understand what you're saying, and I...
Why? Why would it get me hate?
Well, because in South Africa, there's a history of white supremacy through forced legislation that ended 22 years ago.
Right.
And the government that we have is a very redistributive government, and they thrive on victimhood or making citizens victims. And now the big problem we face in this country, according to the government, is something called white monopoly capital. So basically, there's this, you know, Illuminati of white people right at the top that control the economy, when obviously the stats show otherwise.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Who has the larger population in South Africa? Black people or white people?
Well, black people.
Okay.
By some distance.
By a good distance, right? So I look at South Africans, black South Africans, as double pitiful the black Americans. Because we're the minority here. We're only like 14, 70%. You guys are the majority there. If you listen to the Hotep lifestyle, you would be able to remove white people from your country. Black people in South America, listen to me. If you are in the streets crying about white supremacy, it's your fault. You are the majority in the country. What is wrong with you?
So, but you now mentioned about removing people. So you say not through violence. You're not a fan of violence, I assume.
No.
Okay.
All you have to do is build an internal economy.
Yeah. All right. So you educate yourself and you.
No. For example, right?
Yeah.
For example, when a redneck has a horse and the horse dies, he sells the horse to the soldier because he's too lazy to skin it and turn the parts into extra sales. So the soldier go ahead and turn that horse into $15 more. He might sell the horse to the soldier for $3, and the soldier will multiply and turn into 15 because the soldier sat down and did the work. Blacks don't want to sit down and do the work. It ain't about learning, and it ain't about all these different sectors. It's about sitting down and doing the work, no matter what it is. If you want to play piano, sit down and do the work. If you want to be an engineer, sit down and do the work. If you want to be a poet, sit down and do the work. The bottom line is they don't want to sit down and do the work. They just want to cry and complain. Cry and complain and ain't never changed shit.
And
you know what happens? Yeah. You know what happens when you cry and complain? They give you pseudo change. And that's like, oh, here's an award, or let's put more black people in commercials. That's the change. And then you go, oh, that's so nice of them to do. Now we're on TV. See, it's all emotional and psychological, but that shit ain't physical.
Yeah, I get the sense, though, that there's some sort of disconnect. So you talk about black people doing the work. I get the sense that there are a lot of black people in America, and I know for a fact that there's, you know, millions in South Africa who work very hard. And there seems to be a disconnect between their hard work and the fact that they do the work and put in the work, and then the sort of victim mentality that happens as far as what the media tells us or what celebrities tell us is going on. Do you agree with that, or you think that there's a
the black problem in America, for everybody listening, is blown out of proportion?
Okay.
It is blown out of proportion. The media embellishes, right? So they make you think, oh my God, it's a disaster over here. No, it's fucking fine out here, okay? It's fucking, it's beautiful in America. It's very safe. Now, there are particular regions that if you go into at the wrong time of night, you might have some issues. But I think that's everywhere globally, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So when they say there's racism in America, it's not the type of racism that black people can't overcome.
That is actually quite profound, because the problem with the racism debate, in my opinion, is that it makes black people like subjects, right? It like sort of patronizes them, that like you have to be extra careful around a black person in case they get offended, because if they get offended, it's worse. So you don't actually fight racism, you protect the so-called minority in essence.
What is racism?
Well, it's a belief in supremacy in one's race over another.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. From the black people in America and or the black people in South Africa, how do they perceive white people? Do they perceive themselves to be supreme over white people? Do they perceive themselves to be better?
Well, I don't know. I've seen stats that say most people don't care about race in this country, including
Black people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Extensive surveys which show people don't really care about race. They care more about economic things.
Our media, which is no different to your media in the US, sort of left-wing liberal media, will tell us that there's a huge race problem and that both the races, the warring races, the whites and the blacks, hate each other. That's what the media tagline is. The stats seem to suggest that people don't give a shit. They just want to kind of make money and enjoy their lives.
Okay. Well, let me tell you what I see online from South Africa and America. And what I see is white people see themselves as supreme and black people see themselves as supreme. That's what I see. I see racism from both sides. If that is your definition of racism, which is not my definition of racism, but I call it prejudice, right? You're prejudging somebody based upon skin color. That's not racism. Racism is when you blatantly try to stop somebody else from achieving a goal, right? That's racism, right? Because it has to be, you know, when you add ism, it has to be some sort of functioning system now.
So it's got to be an action. Just disliking someone is really neither here nor there.
That's a prejudice.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
So you see, when you say Buddhism, right, or Judaism, when you add the ism, it becomes a function now, something that has an end goal, right? Has a storyline. So racism has to have a function. So if I say I'm black and I want to stop some white people from doing something in this country, I could not do so. I have no control in this country, right? But I could be racist within my own establishment in my own business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
No, that makes sense to me.
But does that make it racist if you can go and get a job from somewhere else?
I would argue no. But a lot of people would argue otherwise.
Okay, so now it goes back to my previous argument where racism does not exist.
Oh, now we're getting to the meaty part. Excellent.
Okay, so it doesn't exist?
No, it's some fabrication created to achieve a goal for a certain entity of people. So, for example, for the media, they can use racism for clicks. I can use racism for clicks. You guys can use racism for clicks.
Okay. And what about just plain ideology? We've been told by the media the KKK are a huge issue in the United States, which is probably untrue. But let's say there's a KKK leader somewhere and he basically just doesn't in any way engage with any black people. He runs a business. He won't employ them. He won't go to a restaurant where the black people serving.
Good for him. He should. That's how he should live his life.
Is he not racist in that?
No, he's instance? Not racist. Not racist. He has preferences. How can you tell somebody else's preferences are horrible? You see, this is what's wrong with black people, right? When I go out and I go to an Indian restaurant, I see Indian people working in the restaurant.
Okay.
When I go to a Chinese restaurant, I see Chinese people working in a restaurant. When I go to these areas, they own whole areas. Even the Spanish people here, the Hispanics own whole areas. Black people don't own whole areas, right? They don't even shop with themselves, right? So you're going into the Chinese area, the Indian area, the Spanish area, and you asking for a job, and they're like, look, I got my own people to take care of. That's racism? How is that racism? When a white man sees you walk in and he's like, yo, I could give this job to my cousin Billy, but I'm gonna give it to a black guy, right? Why would I do that when I could take care of my own family? The problem is black people don't have their own people to turn to, so they cry when nobody else wants to help them.
How much of this is a sort of function of the welfare state that has been set up in the United States?
Of course. Integration and welfare was infiltration.
Okay, just expand on that.
Black people were thriving in America prior to integration. We were doing quite fine. We didn't need anybody doing any marches on our behalf, right? We didn't need it. As soon as we amalgamated with the so-called Caucasian, what happened? everything went downhill. Why? Because the white man's ice was colder than ours.
Okay, just explain the analogy.
Right now, well, it's plain as day, right? It's like you got two ice cubes, right? We both know they're at the same centigrade, right?
Yeah.
But the white man's is colder. In their mind, they think the white man is supreme, so they want to eat at the white man's restaurant. They want to drink the white man's soda. They want to dress like the white man. They want to wear the white man's clothes, Gucci, Prada. They didn't create those clothes. How come blacks don't stay in their traditional African clothes, but they love to look European? When the Arab walks around, does he switch his clothes to look European? No, he got that same Arab shit on his head.
So, I mean, Ali, so are you saying that when integration happened around about the 60s, I would assume, that the black community appropriated the culture of the white Americans, in essence, and lost their own?
First of all, we have to understand is integration, black people and white people were already integrated.
Post-slavery.
Pre-slavery, during slavery, and after slavery. If you do your history,
yeah,
we were already integrated. It is impossible for people not to be integrated if you live in the same region, right?
Yeah.
But okay. If you're subjugated, so if you're a slave.
Well, that's, again, that wasn't all of America. Pre-slavery, white women were slaves. White people were slaves. It wasn't black people, right? So when we say slavery, which slavery are we talking about? Because there is that black slavery section, but prior to that, white women were being raped and enslaved in America by white men. Okay? Nobody wants to talk about that.
Yeah, so when we talk especially about slavery, especially the Irish women, yeah.
Okay. Now, when we talk about during slavery, there were thousands of black slave owners. Why nobody talks about that? Why is it that a black man could own a white slave? Is that not integration?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, there's historical ignorance, right? And then secondly, it goes around it goes against the narrative.
All right. So now let's get back to integration. So when you say this whole thing of integration, this is a psyops. This is an attack on somebody's psychology to put it in the media and say, hey, look, black people and white people were now getting together. Nobody sat back and said we were already together. We were already walking down the same streets and cities together. Nobody thought about that. What that was a psyops to say, okay, black people, now go shop with us. Black people, you shop with us now.
Yeah.
So now the black dollar went to the white bank. Destruction of your entire community. So, because the white man's oranges was better.
So, I mean, I do get your point. Okay. But now let's get to the nub of the issue. Why is African American culture not conducive to creating thriving internal communities?
Psychology. Again, it's an attack on psychology. Look at women, right? So I'm a marketer. The whole thing with marketing is evoking emotions, right?
Yeah.
And you do it in the media too. You have to evoke emotion and make somebody laugh, cry, whatever. So as long as you can keep the women emotional, you can control them. And in America, the women control black men. They dictate what's acceptable in the White House, in the House. For example, if we look at Steve Harvey went and sat with Donald Trump, right?
Yes.
Cool. He caught hell for that. When he went back home, he was supposed to go to the inauguration, I think. And his wife told him he couldn't go. In America, the wife runs the household.
So he didn't go.
This is what I'm saying. So if you control the black woman, you control the black community.
So who controls the black woman?
Black women. Well, okay.
Well, who controls them now that they...
I see what you're alluding to.
Yeah.
So shopping, I'm going to say shopping and TV controls them, right? So you can program somebody because you're giving them TV programs. If I took you and I sat you down with chemistry programs for 90 days straight, you'd come out and be a fucking chemist. If I sat you down and fed you Love and Hip Hop for 90 days, you'd be a defunct wench. You know what I'm saying? And this is what's wrong with them. They take in retarded programming and then imitate it. And all this TV is filled with nothing but commercials. So they fill their body with filth, garbage food.
But now, are they victims of this or are they instigators? I mean, because it's difficult to just, you know, generalize about a whole
double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword because if your mama was doing it, you're probably a victim.
Yeah, you just perpetuate the same, yes, the same thing.
Yeah, and this thing's been going on for centuries.
Okay, but if we've got, if you say, you know, something like the Jeffersons is kind of oppressive to the mind of sort of black women in America, because they're going to watch that and it's kind of like, oh yeah, we'll get out of the ghetto type of thing, and that's kind of that's the narrative. But on the other side, nowadays you've got sort of Beyonce and Jay-Z, who are essentially American royalty. So surely one is better than the other.
Well, even Beyonce has to play by the rules. You know, a few years ago, I was having a conversation with somebody and they said, oh, what is Beyonce going to do when she comes back out? Da, 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 da. I said, man, she's going to strip. Say, well, Beyonce, why would Beyonce have to do that? She's the queen. Da, da, da. I'm like, no, she's going to strip. She's going to be in a thong, butt naked on TV. Guarantee you. No, Beyonce doesn't have to do that. And what happened a few years later, next few albums, butt naked, ass out, all over the screen. I said, I told you so. You have to do that. You have to play the game. Also, Beyonce is a white woman. She's a black woman in white face.
Expand. You need to expand on that, especially for our audience.
She goes to the Super Bowl with a bunch of people, Black Panthered out, got afros. What does she have on? A blonde wig.
Okay.
Blonde weave. Right? In America, if you want to excel in media, dye your hair blonde, especially if you're a light-skinned black woman, especially if you're a white woman. If you're fair-skinned, dye your hair blonde. That's the cheat code. I'm in marketing. I sat down. We had a meeting in a market. I'm not going to say which company it was. And they said, look, we need more blonde white women on our team. This is facts.
Yeah. Okay, so we've set up this situation where we've got for example, the media and the entire structure is a white dominated structure, which has then been bought into by the black community, who are not creating for themselves, but are just feeding the white structure. Is that a fair representation of what you said?
Yes.
And okay, so what I want to know is, under what circumstances do we get to the point where either you get what you want, which I assume is the black community doing for themselves, running their own award shows, for example, television programming and all the rest of it, shopping centers, whatever it is. So if you're a black woman getting up in the morning, you're going to go watch a program made by black people for black people, a shopping center owned by black people, where your dollar goes back into their bank. That's the one option, which I have to say I'm not that big a fan of, as I'm not the biggest fan of I know you don't like the integration, but what I'm trying to get to is there any situation in your mind where somehow there is an integration whereby it doesn't really matter? So white people end up spending.
Now we're coming.
White people end up spending at black people's shops and black people at white people's shops, and it like nobody cares.
So this is something else that annoys me, right? You got white nationalists and black nationalists yelling at me, and they keep talking this separation thing. And the more they say the separation thing to me, the more I don't agree with it, right? And when I say independence, it is a prerequisite to interdependence, meaning black people must first learn how to sustain themselves before they can work with the entire community, right? For example, when China comes in and buys up everything in Africa and leaves Africa with debt, then what? Right? Because Africa didn't have its own independence to mine its own resources, to sell it to China. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now China owns all the resources. So people complain about the white man, but what about the China man, right? Nobody talks about him, right? Okay. He doing the same thing better than the white man, okay?
Yeah.
And nobody talks about that. But it is an interdependence that must happen, because blacks, all right, so put it like this. Until blacks have their own self-sustaining economic structure, they are of no help to any other race on this planet. They are actually a leech on the other races of the planet, because the other races have to take care of them. We are, in essence, an adopted child now. An adopted bastard child is how we're acting. Because first of all, our numbers say we shouldn't be like this. Our population alone says it shouldn't be like this. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I think black people make up about a seventh of the population of the world, right? Like over a billion people.
I think it's way more than that, but okay. Either way, there's way more than enough black people to make some shit happen for black people. The bottom line is, until they can start sustaining themselves and fix things like Baltimore and Chicago, we can't even cooperate with other races. The other races are always going to be at odds with us. If I was white, I'd hate black people. If I was Chinese, I'd hate black people. If I was Spanish, I'd hate black people. Because why do I have to take care of you?
And what about the argument that, you know, the system is set up to keep black people down and keep them as wards of either the state or of, as you're putting it, other races?
Again, if I hate you, of course I'm going to oppress you. You can't take care of yourself. All right, so it's like this. You come to me and you go, hey, can I borrow a dollar? I give you a dollar today, right? You come back tomorrow, oh, can I borrow $20? I give you $20, right? And you come back the next day, and I'm like, yo, when are you going to ask for a job, right? You say, all right, fine, you come work for me, right? I'm not going to give you a good job, you're a fucking asshole, so I'm going to put you in a corner somewhere, you know what I mean? That's what black people are. We're that person that keeps asking for the handout instead of just going out and get it for themselves and then coming back and saying, hey, instead of me working for you, how about your business needs paper, I now print paper, let's start trading. You see how we start acting like adults now? Instead of going to somebody else's place, asking for a job, now you just create business between the two entities.
Yeah, but Ali, that's happening all over the world, man. I mean, in our country, there's an underground economic system, especially based in what we call townships, which are shanty towns. So the state never sees, you know, the books, and they don't pay tax and whatever you call it. But there's a massive there's a massive amount of wealth being generated every single day by people trading, you know, in shanty towns all over the country.
Trading amongst themselves, right?
Yes, mostly.
Okay, now that is the first step. I said that is the prerequisite to the next step, which is interdependence. Now, until you can build yourself up to the point where you can do business with China eye to eye, you will never rise.
Yeah, but that's dependent on a lot of things, man. Like government economic policy, like, you know, shit like that again, also hurts
again,
a lot.
Again, to me, it sounds like you're just making excuses.
I don't intend to.
In life, there are barriers, right? And every superstar is going to tell you about how he didn't grow up with a dad and they didn't have no money, da 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 da. But he made it, didn't he? When you look at Tyler Perry, he's going to talk about how he was homeless and abused, right? But yeah, he made it, didn't he? So how are you going to tell me a billion black people on the planet can't overcome some fucking policies? What the fuck is a policy? the policies and the regulations and the laws, and it sounds like crybaby shit to me.
All right, so talking about politics while we're on it, let's talk a bit about Trump, and because we've been told that he is the most racist president you guys have ever had. We know that on paper that can't be true because Jefferson owned slaves, so.
Every president owns slaves, man.
Where do you stand on Trump? Where do you stand on the hysteria?
George Washington had taken the teeth of his slaves to put in his mouth because his teeth were falling apart. He wasn't taking care of himself. George Washington used to bootleg liquor. He was a gambler and a hustler. So when we're talking about presidents, I don't want to hear about Trump. I mean, black people loved Trump when he was hanging with the rappers. Now, all of a sudden, they don't like Trump. Again, this is black people being manipulated by the left-wing liberal media.
Yeah, so just on Trump, you think he's getting a bit of a raw deal?
What do you mean, raw deal?
Well,
I think if we look at or the campaign run, I think you expected this, no? I mean, if he was getting trashed the whole time, you kind of expected him to get trashed the entire 4 years of his term. So I don't think he's getting a raw end of the deal. I think he should have expected this.
He's just getting what he deserves or what he was going to get anyway.
He's getting what he's been getting. Why did he expect it to stop because all of a sudden he was president? I think he should have expected it to amplify, and he should have been prepared for this.
Ali, here's a question for you. So the average, as far as I'm aware, right? I mean, I've read Thomas Sowell and a few other independent thinkers. The average black American is quite a patriotic, conservative chap, not too worried about like social issues like gay rights and shit like that. Why do black Americans vote for the Democrats? Because if you say they're manipulated, you're making them victims.
They got overseers. When you had slavery, right?
Yeah.
You had an overseer, right? And the overseer, when they had church, the overseer would watch and make sure none of the slaves got out of control, right? Same thing happening now. I know people that work for the NAACP, high up. And what do? They work for the Democratic Party. When you have an entity such as the NAACP, who is supposed to be for black people, but they work for the Democratic Party, who do you think black people are going to vote for? The entity that black people have to go to whenever they have issues in America is the NAACP. When you have an issue with your job or racism, you go to the NAACP. When you don't like how you're being treated as a black person in America, you go to the NAACP, and the NAACP works for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, I mean, I do get that, but broadly...
So the NAACP is the overseer. He's the one making sure the blacks stay on the plantation and don't run away. The Democratic Party is the plantation.
Yeah, but the problem is the blacks don't have the same views as the Democratic Party. So why do they keep voting for them, though? I mean, I get the overseer analogy.
Again, they're not educated on the views. And even the views can be misconstrued, depending on how you sell it. I could sell you shit you don't need all day.
Yeah. All right. So they're being sold a certain view and being told to just toe the line.
For example.
Yeah.
For example, when we say police body cameras because of the shootings, you know what I saw? I saw a lot more crimes being picked up on radar, because there's a lot of times cops aren't paying attention, but that camera's picking up stuff the cop can't perceive. So potential opportunities for people to get away with crimes have been, the opportunity has been lowered. Also, you have facial recognition now. So a cop can have this body camera attached to his chest, patrol the neighborhood while eating a donut on Facebook, and his camera will alarm him as to who's in the neighborhood and who has a warrant and what's going on. It'll just go beep, 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 beep. Such and such is 25 feet down the street. He picks his head up, puts his donut down, runs, captures this person. This is just more surveillance. And who perpetuated this? Fucking Black Lives Matter and the rest of their nuts.
Yeah, so Black Lives Matter... Overall, I would guess, based on that statement, you think they've had a really negative effect on the black community.
Absolutely. The worst thing that happened in the past 20 years.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, I mean, that's quite an interesting example that you gave. In terms of the sort of general examples that we've seen whereby there's been riots, whenever there's a Black Lives Matter protest, there's been riots. It certainly seems like it's a political...
There was no riots. That was a media stunt.
Okay, so just to go into that a little bit then.
For example, the police incite the riots. Let's put it like that, okay, if there are riots. For example, you have... I forget which killing it was, but... When the kids got out of school, these are kids now, the police were greeting them with riot gear. The police canceled the buses from picking the kids up. So the kids who normally were bused home had to walk home. And this is miles they had to walk. You know what happens when you unleash a whole bunch of kids in the street in areas they're not used to and then surround them with police? Come on. Come on. And then you yell and intimidate them, and then you have the plants that they put inside the thing to incite the riot, the plants that they put inside the people to egg people on, that we had evidence by Darren Seals in Ferguson, who also said They greeted us with riot gear. We were peaceful. And then some white guys came out of nowhere and threw some stuff at the cops. And then the cops started attacking us. So, no, black people do not riot. That's not what we do. Have we rioted in the past? Yes, we have. But a lot of these riots that you see is the media misconstruing things. So I'm not going to put that on black people. No, no. That, again, liberal media trying to cash in off rage. Every black person I know was at home. How are we rioting when everybody's at home?
Well, I mean, there were videos and photos, right? I mean, you did see some businesses being burned to the ground in Ferguson and things like that.
Let's move on to the next topic because I don't think we're going to make any headway on this one.
All right, no worries. So, Ali, in your personal opinion, what do you really think about white people, well, white Americans in general? Do you think? Okay, you already said racism is not an issue or doesn't matter. So are white people an enemy of sorts, or are they someone to emulate? An enemy. Rather? Well, maybe not an enemy, but are they
white people for a person like myself, white people aren't a formidable enough enemy for me to consider to be an enemy.
Oh, why is that?
I don't think any human on the planet is formidable enough to be my enemy any longer than temporarily. To choose white people as an enemy would be to ignore everything that's happening geopolitically. If I said the white male is my enemy, I'd have to say the Arab man is my enemy and a Chinese man is my enemy and a Hispanic man is my enemy. And I'm not ready to do that. What I will do is I'll take on a bigger enemy, which is myself.
Yeah.
I think my own people are my biggest enemy. I speak to them honestly and truthfully, and they don't want to hear it. They'd rather hear lies from the left. So why would a white man be my enemy? That doesn't even make sense.
No, well, there's a grand narrative of what's called institutional racism, right?
I understand that there is that. Majority of black people will say, oh, the white man's the enemy, the white man's any white man's enemy. But again, the people that say that are saying that for profit, and the people that repeat it are just doing that because they haven't questioned anything and not thinking. They're not Hotep.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you were a thinking, functioning individual, you would know we're not even fucking human. Right? We're our bodies are human, but we possess a soul. We are actually the soul. We are a higher consciousness. And this is the difference between us and other animals, right? Yeah. So we're here fucking fighting about, you know, race colors, the same thing about two fucking cantaloupe, fighting over a bitch. You know what I'm saying? So we're no different. The only thing that's going to separate us from animals is by looking past this shit and understanding that we're higher conscious beings and operating like one. And a higher conscious being does not have enemies.
I actually tend to agree with you. I think that that's actually quite well put. So now, Ali, how do we unlock that consciousness that some of us might be lacking? I get the self-reliance and things like that, but the culture has to change, and it changes very, very slowly.
Well, here's step one. Turn off the TV. Turn off the media. Reprogram your mind, because the mind operates off of the subconscious mind. I wrote a book about it. It's called Reprogramming Subconscious Mind. And you have to change what you put in your environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's how you change your consciousness. So if you're constantly watching Love and Hip Hop, you're always going to be a low conscious being. If you're watching, some nature, you know, whatever.
Yeah, Planet Earth.
Yeah, you know, something more uplifting. If you're listening to Beethoven or Mozart as opposed to, I'm going to shoot him up and kill him in the street, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like the music has to, you have to change the music you listen to, you know? It's the subconscious mind we have to change first.
Yeah, I mean, I made a habit a while ago that I canceled my cable TV months and months ago. And now I supplement my time with actually reading books instead of watching TV.
Yeah.
And just the amount of satisfaction and knowledge that I've gained in those, whatever they were, 10 months or so, it's been phenomenal.
But how do you feel though? Are you different?
I've always been different, to be honest. I always thought I was a bit more intelligent than the average schmo.
What I mean by different is your interactions with other people. Have they elevated or?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
No, by far. I mean, I do think the more knowledge I gain, the more I don't understand people, so to speak, but I do try to understand them in a way that is far more productive, rather than just be binary, right, between the right and the left or black versus white. It's, you know, people are individuals and we need to try to understand what each other are actually trying to say, because that's half the problem. People don't actually know what they're saying because they're never actually getting along in the first place.
Right. Absolutely.
You're generally okay with that as a concept, in terms of if we dispense with race as a determinant, ultimately to reach that higher level of consciousness and sort of drop all the bullshit, so to speak.
If we could wave a magic wand and get every race on the planet to agree with that, then yeah.
All right, I think that's a good place to get to.
So to be colorblind, but I mean, in South Africa, if you're colorblind, you're inherently racist because you're too privileged to know that race is very important. So it's a vicious circle. You have to just fight the bullshit all the time, which is really irritating. So, I mean, Ali, we've taken a bit of your time. Last question from my side. You had a tweet a while ago about the coalition between HOTEP and the alt-right. Now, the alt-right, as far as the media tells us, are considered to be some type of white supremacist group, right? Anti-Semitic group. Now, what alliance were you discussing, or what were you meaning by that word alliance between HOTEP and alt-right?
I think the simplest way to understand this is that alt-right is white power for white people, and HOTEP is black power for black people.
Right.
White people on the left don't want to go along with that, and black people on the left don't want to go along with that. So that's the dichotomy.
But I think the important difference is if you gave the alt-right the means to pursue their aims through violence, for example, they would happily take you up on that. Whereas I'm hearing from you guys that, you know, HOTEP isn't a violent means. It's just changing a mindset.
That's correct.
Yeah. All right. So that does make you distinctly different.
That's correct all around the board, you know? So black supremacy doesn't have to look like white supremacy. Just because white supremacy is violent doesn't mean that black supremacy has to be violent. My supremacy looks completely different. My supremacy says, I'll defeat you without pulling a trigger. Your supremacy says I'll defeat you by pulling a trigger. But it's two different supremacies.
Right. So, I mean, do you think there's a coalition is available, or would you like it to happen?
Absolutely. I never turn down an opportunity to work with anyone on this planet, no matter their views about me. I find that it is easier to work with people I hate than it is to work with people I like, because people you like will bullshit you, and people you don't like will be God's honest truth. So you'll find better business that way. Ask your billionaires how they feel. They love doing business deals with people they hate.
Yeah.
And of course, because one side wants to get over on the other and blah, 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 blah. We can get into all that. I get it. Alt-right would love to kill a nigga. I get it. But to me, that just shows their level of consciousness. Right. If you're the type of person that says, I want to get my hands on you and kill you, I'm just like, oh, well, you're a redneck. That's what you are. That's what Thomas Sowell's talking about. Right. You're like the Northern Britons. Right. The Scottish, the Irish. So if that's how you operate as a being, that's fine. I just mean, I have to operate like that. That doesn't mean my supremacy has to look like that.
Your definition of supremacy sounds a lot like empowerment rather than supremacy.
Absolutely.
And that's the most important goal for you now, black empowerment.
That's not the most important goal. I think my personal most important goal is planet power. I've been like this since a child, right? And I'm never going to let this die, because it is as we become adults that we fall into this, you know, black and white, and I hate you, I hate me. As a black person, I have to look out for my people because my people are down and they're the underdog. Fine, that's the physical level. But as a higher conscious being and how I came into this world, I could have been a white man my past life. I could have been an Arab man my past life. But in this carnation, I feel my purpose is to unite the planet.
Yeah.
I believe that in order to do so, I have to uplift black people. And if we want to follow the story that black people are the original people, it makes sense to say that if we're going to uplift the planet, we have to uplift the original people.
Yeah, yeah. So you strengthen the weakest link, so to speak.
Correct.
Okay, and then and that creates a, that creates ultimately creates unity.
Right.
Gotcha.
You see, people are weird. Like, if you have 10 people in a room, right?
Yeah.
And that one weak person walks in the room, guess who gets oppressed? That weak person, and you can smell it on him. You can see the fear on him. He's got his head down. He's hunched over. But you're going to have a couple in the people room that's going to be like, I don't really want to fuck with him. That's the higher conscious being. That's me. You know what I'm saying? I'm the type of person who wants to be like, yo, pick your head up, yo. Poke your chest out, man. Stop acting like that, man. They're going to eat you, yo. Come on, yo. These dudes in here want to fuck you up, yo. Man up. That's me, the black people. Black people are the people walking in the room with their head down, slouching, not that confident. And they show it, they try to cover it up by saying, oh, black power, da, da, da. But deep down inside in their subconscious, they believe that the white man is better than them.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's not necessarily true. Because, I mean, the redneck culture is not fantastic, and there's quite a few of those in America.
Hey, you know, I'm an objective thinker. I'm not here to say who's better than who.
Yeah.
Because that's where you fault. That's where you fault. What if there's another race of human out there that's blue, comes here and fucks everybody up? Then that whole race shit goes right out the window.
No way, man. We'll be talking about who's more privileged when the fucking aliens nuke us all.
We probably will.
I mean, yeah, Ali. I mean, I think your the principle that you have for particularly for black people, I think they could apply to any race in this world, to be honest. And I think they're very good principles to follow. I think self-empowerment is extremely important.
If you look at Hotep Nation, I've turned away no gender and no race. Our president, Jordan, has turned away no gender or race. Our vice president, Flex, has turned away no gender nor race. Uncle Hotep, Doe, MG, Neo, Adonis, the whole team has never turned down anybody from any race. We've been open-minded. And that's the difference between Hotep and everything you're going to see out there. We are open-minded. We are very agnostic, very objective, just watching you idiots run around like ants in an ant farm.
Yeah. Okay. So anyone can be a Hotep.
Anybody can be a fucking Hotep.
That sounds brilliant. Ali, I don't know what to say other than thank you so much. That was an absolutely brilliant conversation. I learned a lot. And yeah, we do hope to spread a bit of that Hotep message here in the southern bit of Africa.
Yo, shout out to everybody in South Africa. I appreciate you and thank you for having me on, yo.
Thanks very much, Ali. And hopefully we'll chat to you in the future. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Blessings.
All Cheers. Right. Bye.
Okay, so that was Ali Shakur. You can find him on Twitter at Vibe High. Ramon, as you said, you really enjoyed that. Some stuff I agree with, some stuff I don't, but that's the whole point of the show.
Well, that's the point of the show. I mean, if we're interested in ideas, we need to have people on that we disagree with fundamentally. I do think he makes a few broad generalizations, which I wouldn't try to make. But I think that his core principles are correct, right? I think self-empowerment, gaining knowledge, trying to understand others. I think those are
community upliftment.
Those could be universally applied to anyone, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for listening to the show. You can find us as always at Renegade_Report. That's on Twitter, on Facebook, two pages. We have the actual Facebook page, which you can like, has announcements and things on it. And we also have a Facebook group where we have discussions on the shows and various topics. At Roman Kabanak on Twitter, at Jonathan_Witt. Thank you so much for listening. We are the top show on Cliff Central, and we'll catch you next time. Cheers.
cliffcentral.com.